Hello, everyone. Let's say our opening prayer. O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, Beloved Jesus Christ, Blessed Master, Dearest Mother, Beloved David, Saints and sages of all religions, I bow to all of you. Free my life from all obstacles, and give me physical, mental, and spiritual development. Make my mind thy temple, make my heart thy altar, make my love thy home. Be thou the only king, reigning on the throne of my consciousness. Amen. Do a short meditation. Listen to music.
In the temple of silence, in the temple of peace, in the temple. Thank you.
Reading tonight is from Romans 13, starting with verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. And continues with 7. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And from James, starting with verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Well, this was St. Paul and St. James. And James says that God does not tempt man. And Jesus' prayer is a prayer to God to lead us not into temptation. I think those things are consistent, self-consistent. James is giving his answer to, perhaps, what Jesus was saying. Well, since God got me into this by sleight of hand on those verses, David once gave a talk about what a minister is. And a minister is to serve. Jesus always pushed forward the notion that who would be first must be last, would be last. And that the minister serves. Even Jesus served. Especially Jesus served. His only reason for coming was to serve the will of his Father. And those of us who can muster the support to always want to do the will of our Father must submit to the things that God ordained. It's difficult to know. It takes intuition. Sometimes you have direct God perception, but even with direct God perception and the greatest intuition, there's still a judgment call that must be made to know and act. And you only know a small part. But with movement of God, with God's gifts, with God's statements to us, his teaching, we can learn to know better each time that we experiment. Now, it's not true that saints and the holy people hear God's voice more often. It is just they have the clarity of mind and the clarity of certainty to step out and act as God directs. Whether you get embarrassed whether it's harsh it takes tremendous faith and many chances to make mistakes, to learn this. But it is part of our sadhana. We are not hermits whose actions only affect himself or herself, the one person. But we are interacting and we are set on the path here with a great job to do. Master came here to bring the higher teachings to the Christians who have lost it to a great extent. Now there are many Christians who know the correct path inwardly. Master was sent to teach us that which is outwardly consistent with God's will. And he tells us, change yourself and you will change thousands. That's the mechanism that we must go through. And changing ourselves is to, I don't want to say feel that it's God's speaking to us, because God is speaking to all of us equally. And we need to be able to dig out of the ether, as Master used to say about radio waves. We need to dig out of the cacophony that comes into our minds and separate out that one or two or three things that most comport with God and that point in the highest good for all concerned. It's a good measure. It's a good comparison, or a way to measure it. As Mother always said, the greatest good for all concerned. And try to do the best to feel. And this is the thing. God's movement through you is thrilling. And the ego can pretend to be that. But you'll notice, honestly, you will notice there's a difference. Unfortunately, many times we don't get to have that perspective until after we've acted in some way. So we have to step out in faith and take our lumps and learn our lessons and get better at it and try to do God's will. Change ourselves. Change yourself and you will change thousands. And isn't he the prime example? He shows in the autobiography, his autobiography, so well how he had to learn. He talks of himself as a student. And his master, Sri Yukteswar, teaching him with great diligence and painful experiences sometimes. And he learned to love that man in spite of that, because he knew that what he got was the greatest thing that could be obtained from a guru of Sri Yukteswar's stature. The temptations are great. If God doesn't tempt us, then the temptations are of our own making, and they are not really substantially true. The ones that oppose God, the temptations that come to us from our lower nature. God made that lower nature, and the temptations that come from that have a function, and they are not always in themselves wrong or cause trouble. But you have to watch the lower nature, things that include the lower nature, and you know fully well when you do, you have to watch with diligence to know the proper use. An example is the lower nature is controlled by the legs. It's associated with the limbs of movement. And it can be used for good and for ill. Do the legs tempt us? No. But the things that we've learned to do with our legs to move us into places that are not good and take us to places we shouldn't be, we Many things are taken away from us, temptation-wise, if we don't have legs, if we are paraplegics with both legs missing or unusable. And so because those things are not committed by us, we can say we've triumphed over the lower nature as far as our legs are concerned. But in reality, we just don't know until we have legs, until we have options, until we have temptations that come to us. And we discriminate them, and they don't do the greatest good for all concerned. You know, when I was in Pasco, Washington, in mostly in middle school and fourth grade through eighth grade, we had a pastor, Father Schmidt, who was probably in his 60s then. And he took it on himself to drive the school bus every day, two routes. He had to get up really early and do the older kids, I believe, or maybe it was a route of different areas, I forget. And he would drive both of them, and he would greet each person who came through the door. He knew every person's name. You never heard him say anything disparaging. He only stopped things that were wrong in the bus, made sure we were disciplined. We all respected him. He didn't have to threaten anything with us, but he could be sharp if necessary. He was a pastor for many decades. And he drove the school bus. He had three priests underneath him. They could have hired someone to do it as well. Most churches, most schools do. But he liked it. And he worried about us, and he wanted to protect us. So he was a great minister. God bless him. When I was in Japan on a job in a mining area, basically a small, almost a village that was created for the development of a series of tunnels near Kobe, there was a big honcho who had come down from Tokyo. And I forget the name of the company, unfortunately. It was Robin's company in America, who was teamed up with them. But he was a very upright, strong man. He looked like a CEO, looked like a samurai perhaps, but a real leader. And one day, I think it was the end of the week, I looked outside and saw him down below sweeping the asphalt underneath the building. And weeding, probably about 2 hours worth of work, on his knees most of it, but sweeping and cleaning. These are things perhaps that he saw that needed to be done. Always wondered how it came about. Did he take advice from the person who was on site as to what was needed to be done? Take instruction, I don't know. You can't beat that example for building respect for him and for leadership. You just can't beat it. It was, all of us Westerners talked about it politely, because we had a translator and we asked, learned about this stuff. And some of the older hands knew the story anyway, so we learned about it. Isn't so much that he was a servant, what he was, but that he could play the role of a servant and without embarrassment, with just a calm face, not looking over his shoulder, just working. He'd done that kind of work before. He wasn't a stranger to that kind of work. So there are many times things occur as a minister that, and I, you know, the things required of me are very slight. But even then, I always have Mother as my model. Not that I can live up to her, but that I have to show respect to her. And if there's nothing really important, that this every bit of the little bit that I do and that the other ministers do and many other of us disciples do for Mother. It's our duty to do it. And it's easy to do it when you remember what Mother went through. Those of us who watched her. And then those of us who watched David. How many times we started service while they were traveling. And he would get a blog entry to us, just a half an hour sometimes, but you know, in the morning, on our most Sundays. And maybe one in between Sundays. But he was always thinking of us. And he knew it was his duty. And if it was possible for him to get the internet connection, he would do it. And he gave many talks that way too. And then we have Master. What a heavy burden he carried. And in the course of that, he wrote so many wonderful things. He composed songs that came from his heart as a gift to his children. Never getting rest, very seldom. He had to be called upon, he could be called upon any time of the day or night. And he was tested with people who, while he was living, were disloyal to him and really hurt the work. He suffered. But he consoled himself with a strange song or a strange verse. I don't know if he consoled himself. We know that he did sing. Devotees may come and devotees may go. Now that level of service is because he sees each devotee as being able to make the decision to come and go. He wouldn't hold them. But his first duty was to God. And that's what he was singing about. So the great secret is, as Mother said, see God in everyone who comes before you. And serve them. Any thoughts?
I was just thinking that it's absolutely wonderful to be reminded. Just reminded, Larry. Thank you. Just to press the refresh button. It's so wonderful.
I just loved your story about the Japanese gentleman who was in management, and there he was on his hands and knees and sweeping and scrubbing. It's just beautiful.
He wasn't embarrassed. He wasn't doing. That's what I really found. You know, the look of Zen. on his face, if anything.
I used to feel that way to see David do anything menial, mm-hmm. like to see him washing the dishes. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, you shouldn't be doing that. You're too good for washing dishes. But then just to watch him just do all those little natural things. And
that's nice.
And it was, I've heard that in like a Buddhist monastery, that one day a year, the head of the monastery will do the chores, like the really menial mm-hmm. chores, the washing and the scrubbing and fetching water. And it's, you know, to keep him in touch with what all of the other devotees are doing, but also to be an example
yeah.
to the devotees so they can see the one who is leading and watch how they do it and watch their composure and their peace of mind and the vibration with which they do things.
It's an interesting thing because the Asians have we see this a lot in the Asian world, that Gandhi did all of the menial chores, for example, but that was a goal and a value that's kind of built into the higher teachings anyway. And there's examples in the West, of course, too.
I'm glad that you brought up the remembrance of David washing the dishes, because I stand at the sink and I still remember watching him do it as I'm watching. It's just so wonderful.
What came to my mind when you were talking about serving Larry and the guru serving us was that time that I was up in Victoria with Mother, staying at Pat Downey's, and we had a very long day driving up from Seattle, and it was a Saturday night, and I was getting Mother ready for bed. And then all of a sudden she said, I don't have my Bible verse for the service tomorrow. And I said, well, maybe you could do that in the morning, Mother. I was sure she was exhausted. I was exhausted, and I was in my 30s. And she said, no, I better find it. So she sat down, and I looked at the Bible for some time. And and then, you know, then she got to bed. But I know in my mind it was either that, well, Mother, you don't have to have a Bible verse for tomorrow, or maybe you should just go to bed because you're tired. And the way she gave services, she always had a Bible verse picked out, and she didn't want to not have one. And she willed her body out of service to keep going that day. I could tell, I mean, she was just so tired, and she did it. To see her will was quite amazing to see it.
Yeah. Yeah. It is my will to do God's will.
Yeah.
Sadhana increases your strength of will. It takes a lot of not to do it. And then it's turned over in service to God.
I was thinking about the Bible quotation where Mother says that God, in a way, God tempts us because He does everything through us. Yeah. And so I kind of, you know, every once in a while I remember, like, all right, God, you're thinking these thoughts, you know, mm-hmm. saying these things. So you have to stop, basically. And so I don't know, is that a cop-out, Larry?
It's a mysterious thing because we're told there's only one true self in the whole universe. So we can feel that in ourselves. But we don't recognize it as such. But when we say, I am, I do, I will, it's all an expression. Directly from God in all things. I am compelled to warn that the actor, the self, is not as mysterious as, I want to say why we're here, it's not as mysterious as existence itself. I have to crane my neck and turn around and view the self and one view of that is God that is on his throne. Comes to me sometimes in that way. But when Mother showed me what was sustaining that, I then knew that the mystery just deepened for my temporal self here to explain it. It's certainly not just unexplainable to others. It's not explainable to myself. I'm comforted by Papa saying, mystery, thy name is God. Because people at Masters and Papa's and Mother's level and David's, if they say it's a mystery, then I don't feel so bad that I can't understand it. But I can't live it. Go ahead.
I was just thinking that because in observing it, you're separating yourself from God.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the conundrum. Yeah, you're right. But in a way, feeling God within you is the perpendicular pronoun. It's with your shoulders back and you're standing athwart the world, owning all that you perceive. And knowing that all that you perceive proceeds from you and proceeded from you. And all will go back to you. It all comes from I am. So you're right that it's a separation to view it, not the pageant, but the
progenitor.
Not the pageant, but the inescapable aspect of existence. And this is where the sense of the abyss comes, or the it's inescapable. In a way, it's too simple. It can't be that simple. All of the complexities of life sitting like a small plate on the table of the broader fact of existence itself. I know this is talking in riddles. One thing about these kinds of musings is they explain so much about the phenomenal world. They let you rest your mind on the certainty that this is, though inescapable, it is our true self, our true, truest self, our truest proof of existence, proof of reason, purpose. The sense of being at home in all circumstances.
David said to me, one of the things she'll be most surprised about is how natural and how familiar it all feels.
Yeah, yeah. That's beautiful. And how simple. I think, yeah, you're kind of surprised by that the most, is the familiarity and the comfort. Back on that theme again, what it seems to draw me closer to God, gives me access to Him. It makes me feel comfortable and protected. Now let's say our closing prayer. O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
Divine Mother.
Divine Mother,
I feel the wonder and the beauty.
I feel the wonder and the beauty
of Thy glorious presence.
Of Thy glorious presence
in every part of my being.
In every part of my being.
My heart is bursting with my love for Thee.
My heart is bursting with my love for Thee.
I kneel in adoration at Thy feet.
I kneel in adoration at Thy feet.
And surrender myself to Thee.
And surrender myself to Thee.
I feel the power of Thy perfection.
I feel the power of Thy perfection.
Surging in every cell of my body.
Surging in every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence.
My mind and my intelligence.
Are radiant with Thy healing light.
Are radiant with Thy healing light.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
Of my communion with Thee.
My communion with Thee.
I and my Father are one.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
Oh.
Bliss. Bliss.
play some music on the way out.
Nam Pavan Kumar Lavana Pavaka Gyanakan Yasu Hridayaga Asahiram Sarachabha Atulita Baladhamam Himashelabadeham Dhanujaran Krishan Yaninam Graganyam Sakalaguna Nidhanam Vanaranam Tisham Raghupati Priya Bhaktam Padajatam Namami Goshpadi Kritavarisham Mashaki Kritarakshasam Ramayana Mahamalaratnam Vande Nilatmajam Anjana Nandanam Viram Janaki Shokanashanam Kapisham Akshahantaram Vande Lanka Bhayankaram Manojavam Maruta Tulya Vegam Jitendriyam Budhimatam Varishtam Vatatmajam Vanrayotamukhyam Shri Ramadutam Sharanam Prapadhyay Shri Ramadutam Sharanam Prapadhyay Shri Ramadutam Sharanam Prapadhyay Shri Ramadutam Sharanam Prapadhyay Bolo Bajrang Bali Hanuman Ki Jai.
Hari Om.